In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Yes, and let's talk movies and more as Alan Adams joins us together. Here in studio this afternoon. Good Monday, friend.
And a good Monday to you as well.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. It was a nice low key kind of weekend, which was nice.
Oh, love those.
You know, I mean, we certainly had the weather for it, which was really nice.
Yeah.
Did around the house stuff, did some errands. We were talking off air. We actually my sweet girl Stella had an oncology checkup on Friday, and we received yet another all clear, to the point where we're actually going to be able to extend time between visits as we check back in. So we continue to be amazed by all of it, and just embracing every minute we get with our little medical marvel.
That's awesome. Great news. Yeah. I'm very happy for you and Stella and the family. That's
the whole great crew. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's pretty great. We have some family down there in Southern Maine, so we got to stop in with them, drop off some slightly belated birthday gifts and this, that, and the other thing. Stella has discovered a newfound love of Lowe's. Well, we only recently discovered that dogs are allowed in Lowe's. And so we've taken her the last couple of times we've gone, and I don't know. She likes, she's clearly, she's clearly my dog, because, she, loves being at breweries. But I don't know where this hardware store thing's coming from, because that is certainly not my oeuvre, as they say.
Only time she smelled sawdust in her life. What are these tools that Dad never seems to use?
Yes. I've seen some of these laying in a pile in the shed. What are they for, pray tell?
Nice. Well, we're awfully glad to hear that. That's awesome news indeed. And I'm shocked that you did not get to any movies this week.
Well, I didn't go to there were a couple of releases in theaters. But the reality was, it was just like, I was like, you know what? I don't want to go.
We had some
new options via streamer, and so I was like, you know what, we're gonna lean into the streamers this week, and we're not gonna worry too much about I believe it's funny too, because under ordinary circumstances, a new George Miller movie would be something that I would be very enthusiastic about, but the early buzz on 3,000 Years of Longing was so bad, it's just like, you know what, I would prefer to remember the George Miller that I love. And so I gave that one a miss. And there's also a frankly fairly well received horror movie out as well. But look, the truth is, like, if you don't go to the movies in late August, you're not going to miss much.
Right.
That's just the nature of the beast at this point. And particularly in a year that has been relatively thin with regard to the box office, like, if I'm going to miss a weekend, this is a pretty good one to miss.
Sure.
And, for my troubles, I got to watch two not great movies via streamer.
Right. Well, let's hear about them so we can maybe miss those too.
So do you want the one that was not very good, or do you want the one that was bad?
Let's start with not very good, because, loves me some Alan hating on the bad movies.
Okay, so there's a new movie streaming on Netflix called Me Time. I don't know if you've seen any of the ads.
Nope.
It's kind of remarkable to think about the fact that this movie basically just sort of appeared out of nowhere on Netflix, when you consider the fact that it stars, it's a sort of a buddy comedy starring Kevin Hart and Mark Wahlberg.
Okay, I have heard about it. Yep.
Up until like this week, I had heard zero about this movie. A movie that, by the way, had it come out 10 years ago, probably would have opened with like a $25 million take at the box office.
Right.
It's just reflective of the sort of change in the industry that we've seen with the onset and explosion of streamers. Speaking of streamers, the Netflix strategy, we've talked about this on the air multiple times. It's quantity over quality. Like, they just throw everything at the wall, see what sticks. And if it even looks like it might have started to think about sticking, they're like, green light that.
Yeah.
We're gonna make that movie. And the reality is, like, when you're churning through at that kind of volume, like, you're just not gonna get consistently high level of quality. Like, it's just impossible because it's just, there's just so much stuff. So you get some that are very good, you get some that are very bad, and then you get some that are, that exist in that sort of vast, mushy kind of middle. And MeTime, sort of exists in that mushy middle. Like, it's a, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's relatively short. It's like 100 minutes long, and, you know, you'll get a couple of laughs maybe, and then promptly forget about it. So the gist, such as it is, Sonny Fisher, played by Kevin Hart, is a stay-at-home dad. Like, he, his whole life is devoted to his, to raising his kids. Like, he's a super involved parent, like PTA stuff. He directs the school talent show, like all of this stuff. While his wife, Maya, played by Regina Hall, who deserves so very much better than this, is the breadwinner. She's like this renowned architect, you know, does very well. And so, you know, he stays at home with the kids. He catches some flack from it, about it from multiple sides, like with the general consensus being, you know, isn't there, don't you have anything else? Is it just your kids? You know, is the, and, you know, he professes to be happy with that situation, but he also has this friend, this childhood buddy named Huck. That's Mark Wahlberg. And in the past, Huck has done these, over the top birthday celebrations and sort of a strong armed Sonny into joining him with them. And, you know, he hasn't done that for a while because, you know, he's a, you know, Sonny's a family man now. Sure. And so, but circumstances conspire in such a way that, that Maya says, you know what, Sonny, you work so hard taking care of this family. Rather than coming with us to visit my parents, why don't you have a little bit of time for yourself? And Sonny's, he's reluctant. Like, he's like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. And he, you know, but finally he agrees. And we have a sort of ridiculous montage of him trying to do stuff, like me time stuff that he thinks he's supposed to do. You know, it all sort of, it all kind of crumbles. And then, well, wouldn't you know it, Huck's birthday is coming up.
Oh.
And Huck gets in touch and is like, Sonny, Come to my birthday party. It's my 44th birthday party. It's going to be great. And Sonny's like, you know what? Okay, I will. And so he winds up on a bus in matching tracksuits with Huck and his entire entourage out into the desert for some sort of like Burning Man knockoff type party. While at said party, Sonny makes two discoveries. One, he discovers that Maya's big deal, super rich client, Armando, has shown up at her parents' house and is asking her to look at this island he's thinking about buying.
Okay.
Also, we discover that Huck hasn't been the most financially responsible person in the world and is in debt to some potentially very dangerous people. So those two discoveries lead us down, just a road just littered with hijinks, Rich. Just hijinks and shenanigans as far as the eye could see.
Right.
And, you know, Sonny is, he's left to really ponder, like, what's really important in life, Rich? You know, like, you know, family's important, but, you know, friends are important. And our individual happiness, that's also important. And how do you bring all these things together in a way that's satisfactory to all involved?
Those are big questions.
Yes, and this movie does not answer them. it's one of those things, you know, it's, I don't know what this movie is trying to tell me about any of this stuff. It's just, it feels, it's very slapdash, and it's, you know, you've got a lot of, gross out gags, fart jokes, you know, stuff that, again, I'll admit appeals to me in a certain way. And sure. I did get some chuckles, from this movie at various points, although I think, more mature viewers, probably will not have even that to hang their hats on. Here's the thing, and it kind of blows my mind. So apparently, Kevin Hart and Mark Wahlberg are like super good friends in real life.
Really?
Like, they're really close buddies.
Okay.
You don't see any of that chemistry on screen. You just don't. Like, it's like they're clearly playing longtime friends, but for whatever reason, it just doesn't really click. And I'll be real. Like, I don't think either one of them is particularly great shakes as an actor, but I see their appeal. And like, when they're used properly, I think they can be very effective in films. And the reality is, like, on paper, this sounds like an effective use of both of their talents. Right. You've got Kevin Hart as the sort of hyper vocal, like, manic guy, and you've got Mark Wahlberg as the good-hearted meathead who's kind of shady. Like, those are very much character archetypes for both of those guys.
Right.
Bringing them together, it should be a no-brainer. And yet, it never really works, particularly when you take into account the fact that the entire supporting cast is basically here because you can't just have a movie with two people in it. Like, you have to have people, like, in the background, and, like, you have to be able to have conversations with other humans besides the two leads. And it's too bad, because there are actually a couple of pretty solid sort of supporting turns that could potentially be really interesting. Jimmy O Yang shows up. He's very funny in a couple of scenes. Of course, a couple of absolute legends playing Maya's parents. John Amos is one, Anna Horsford.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, and they're just like, kind of thrown away. And it's just like, come on, guys. Like, why is this not, why is this not working? And the answer is, it just feels very, like, hastily assembled. And again, we've talked about the problems, how so many Netflix movies feel sort of almost algorithmically assembled. There's some of that vibe here. And it is written and directed by a guy, John Hamburg, who has had some success in this sphere, with this sort of comedy in the past, but for any number of reasons, it just never quite clicks. This movie is going to it dropped this weekend. It's going to vanish. It's just going to vanish from the consciousness in much the same way as it appeared very suddenly, and then it's likely we'll never speak of it again.
All right. Well, I'm glad we did in this brief moment. And that's not even the bad one. Let's hear about that.
Okay. So, look, I'm on record. I love superhero stuff. I love it. I ride hard for it. And I particularly enjoy it when we sort of branch out a little bit beyond sort of the big two. Like, if we get outside the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the DC Extended Universe, where storytellers are sort of tackling characters that exist a little bit on the periphery. And, you know, obviously these are some very, there are plenty of popular, you know, characters that are, you know, sort of from the indie comic scene or whatever, who have, you know, made that transition for better or worse. But yeah, it's always nice to see something that's a little bit new.
Hmm.
However, just because it's new does not mean that it is good. So I watched a movie called Samaritan. It's currently streaming on Amazon Prime Video. It stars Sylvester Stallone.
I've seen the trailer.
Who has either invested a lot of money in digital de-aging technology or is just cranked full of HGH because his face is shiny and smooth in a way that does not exist in nature. Leaving that aside. So this movie, it's basically your standard, like, superhero disappears, comes back kind of storyline. Or is it?
Oh,
yes.
Mystery.
So we're in the fictional city of Granite City. Yeah, it's that kind of movie where long ago, a pair of twin brothers were born, and they had incredible abilities beyond those of normal men. And one of the brothers grew up and decided he was going to battle for the forces of good, and he would become known as Samaritan. His brother turned toward the dark side, and he became his brother's sworn enemy, or nemesis, named Nemesis.
Yeah.
Again, we're not... Yeah, subtlety is not this movie's forte. Anyway, they have one final battle royale, and a power plant explodes, and they both perish in the blast. However, years later, there's still a very devoted community in Granite City that is convinced that Samaritan is still alive. And among the people in that community is a young man by the name of Sam, played by Javon Walton. He's a kid, kind of a troubled kid, lives with his single mom in an apartment. They're having money troubles. He's sort of starting to venture into hanging out with the wrong crowd, that sort of thing. But his big thing is he is obsessed with Samaritan. He draws in his notebook. He collects newspaper clippings. There's a local whack job conspiracy theorist that he communes with on a regular basis, played by the always wonderful Martin Starr, which again, raises more questions than it answers as far as that goes. So anyway, Sam starts again hanging with the wrong crowd and draws the attention, positive, and at least initially, attention of the local sort of aspiring crime lord named Cyrus. I'm not going to say the actor's name because it includes one of those letters that's an A and an E like squished together, and I don't know exactly. I don't know how to pronounce it. He played one of the Greyjoys on Game of Thrones. Okay. Like that's what I got. Anyway, so attracts the attention of this guy, and so he's starting to sort of wander down that path a little bit. But then one day, when he gets jumped by some older kids, and who should come and save the day but his neighbor, a garbage man named Joe Smith. This would be Sylvester Stallone. And in the process of rescuing Sam, Joe Smith displays, superhuman abilities.
Mm.
And so Sam becomes convinced that Joe is, in fact, Samaritan. Joe, being a crotchety old man, who all he wants to do is tinker with old garbage in his apartment and be left alone, is understandably frustrated by the attentions of this kid. But despite all of his protestations, Sam refuses to believe that that our guy Joe is not the hero that he has projected on him. But when Cyrus decides that he's going to take his operation to a much larger scale and perhaps even assume the mantle of a long-gone villainous-type character, well, now it's up to Sam and maybe Joe to save the day? The movie's bad, Rich. The movie's bad. But
I think you've captured that.
Seriously, the most interesting thing about this movie is its path to production, because it started life as a spec script, but then that script was turned into an actual graphic novel series. And so this adaptation of the is adapted from the graphic novel that was adapted from a different screenplay. And so, I just found that interesting, because that's not the standard path for these sorts of things. So technically it is a comic book adaptation, even though it started as an original sort of story, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it's bad for any number of reasons. It is bad because Stallone looks utterly disinterested, although that could be all the chemicals in his face.
Right.
It's too bad because, I've actually kind of enjoyed the sort of recent years resurgence that we've seen from Stallone. I think he's always been underappreciated as an actor, but movies like this are why he's underappreciated as an actor, because it's so clearly phoned in. It's just a lot of close-ups of his face, I think glowering. Again, it's tough to tell expressions-wise. Intercut with very obvious, stunt doubles doing action stuff. None of the decisions being made by any of the people in this film make a lick of sense. I'm not asking for, dense, intricate plotting in my superhero movie. Right. I don't need that. But I need the rules of your world to make a modicum of sense. Mm-hmm. If they don't, then you just have things happening willy-nilly for no reason, or for reasons that are promptly forgotten, or for reasons, and then it turns out different reasons, only it was the first reason, and that's never made clear. I mentioned Stallone's performance, such as it is. He is far from alone in being not good in this movie. I'm not here to take swings at young actors. I know they're still learning their crafts. all that thing. However, in a golden age of young actors in Hollywood, like I believe there are more legitimately talented young actors working in Hollywood today than there have ever been. You got to do better than this kid. Like you do. Like it's like, and this is a kid, like he works. Like, I mean, I think he's a featured player on Euphoria. Like he's like, I've never seen him in anything else. He might be very good in other things. In fact, I feel fairly certain that he is good in other things. Simply because, like, looking at his CV, he is not good in this movie. Nor is our over-the-top ganglord type, although he does seem to be the only one who really understands what kind of movie this is. You know, all of the assorted, like, gangland hangers-on are just, like, it's just like they just went through and found people who would fit the costumes. And you just, you don't care about anything that's happening. And I'm someone who wants to care. Like, that's the thing. I actively want to be engaged by what you're giving me, and I will be incredibly forgiving and have been in the past. And I just, there's just not enough here for me to get by it. Like, I want something. And this is just, there's just nothing here, including a third act. I'm gonna throw air quotes around twist, because it is absolutely 100% telegraphed from like the first 5 minutes of the movie that this is how it's going to play out. And then when we get there, it's like surprise, and it's like literally no one is surprised. It's like you know, it's like one of those sitcoms where, you know, they forgot to turn the lights off and someone shows up early for the surprise party, and it's just like, and everyone turns around and just sort of mutters surprise. Like, that's what this twist is like.
Oh, dear.
So, yes. Samaritan, not so good.
But I enjoyed it, hearing about it from your perspective. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
We'll see you again next Monday.
Yes, sir.
Alan Adams talking movies on Downtown.